Okay, okay.
Public comment? Oh, yeah?
Okay, Arno Sachs and John Walsh.
They have to put cards in, you just call them for 4 hours.
Put them on the agenda.
Which is number one, you call them, get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about moving
Thank
the
you.
Chair.
Good afternoon. While you're looking at the budget and finance budget, last meeting, there were no numbers in last month's budget forecast for the bus hours for the HOV lanes. There was no operational numbers included in that budget forecast. There was no operation forecast for the expo line up, but there was nothing about the high occupancy vehicle buses that you plan on running on the 110 and the 10 freeway. And so I was wondering if we can get numbers on those, because you're going to have to get those bus drivers from someplace. You're going to eliminate routes. As we know all too often, the projects that are funded don't include the operation part of it, just includes getting it built or getting it studied, and then maybe getting it built, but there's no funding for the operation. So I'd like to know where the numbers are on bus lines and the operation revenue that is expected. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I'd like to point out on the organization, which is a multicultural black and brown and white organization called Fix Expo, fought transit racism in South L.A., won an enormous victory in front of the Public Utilities Commission, and prevented this agency from killing school children at two schools, both of which I've taught at, Dorsey and the junior high school. I student taught the junior high school 1966. 44 years ago. I've been around a long time, and I've watched racism. Incidentally, when I went to that school, those schools, they were 100% black, 100%. There wasn't a single Hispanic in the 60s. Different. But we're working together, and I want to point out, 1,000 more buses, 1,000 less police. 1,000 more buses, 1,000 less police. Where did I hear that before?
Yeah, Flores. Miguel Flores.
Thank you.
Withdrawn. You're on that item 10 has been withdrawn.
Yes, I understand that J. Miguel Flores of the Silverstein Law Firm for Excalibur Property Holdings, we object to the withdrawal of that item because it was our understanding in the agenda from the previous meeting that was circulated that the item 10 would be considered at this meeting right now. I do have some objections relating to that item. We object to your approval of item 10A and 10B today due to the improper secrecy in the process. In your staff reports, we see no reference to the location of the proposed Gold Line maintenance and operations facility. However, we know from other documents that Metro and the Construction Authority's current focus is on for the maintenance facilities on the site on Monrovia. Earlier in the previous meeting, I heard confirmation from that from a member to my right. In fact, the appraisals of properties in Monrovia are being conducted now in connection with the proposed maintenance yard, yet the staff reports one would not know about this issue, not would one know fight over the proposed site in Monrovia. We object to the lack of transparency and the issue in the materials before you today in furtherance of shedding light on Metro's intentions and actions. We submitted 60 Public Records Act requests to Metro. If the chair just indulges me, I'm almost done. How can funding for the funding and master cooperative agreements before you today be considered when critical details such as the location of the maintenance facility and the legal challenges being mounted to that proposed site are not before you and not being disclosed to you for public by your staff? This demonstrates an absence of good faith effort at full disclosure by Metro. We will vigorously oppose any attempt to take our clients' properties against their will unless until a satisfactory offer is made and accepted. We will pursue all available legal challenges and, in fact, have already begun to do so against the City of Monrovia. We do not know who to contact at Metro or Construction Authority regarding the proposed acquisition issues, but we request information from you today so that we can have a meaningful dialogue and rather allow happen to disclose disclosure. Thank you, and for the record, I would just like to submit this letter.
Okay, give that over here. And
thank you.
He wants to talk to you as well, so right over here, Michael. Thank you. Okay, item number 9.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Item 9 is to adopt near-term strategies and proposed and priority-setting criteria, authorize staff to prepare the 2011 Los Angeles County Transportation Improvement Program and approve related actions. It's listed as recommendations A through J in the staff report. This was heard at Planning and Programming, and the recommendation from Planning and Programming was to forward to the full board the report as is without recommendations, and ask that staff prepare some additional information related to item number B as to potential impacts if any future IRS stimulus funds would come in, such that those funds could be considered to split the RSTP portion 50% local, 50% to Metro, as has been the practice with Era 1. So with that, we do have a PowerPoint presentation we gave at the last committee. We're prepared to do it again or dispense with it if you would like to go straight to questions or move forward.
Want to hear the public comment first, or do you want to go with it? Arnold Sachs and John Walsh, Act 2. John left.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. I'd just like to address two parts of this, Part A and Part C. We have a transportation improvement program. We had a 2002 long-range transit plan, a 2008 draft long-range transit plan, a 2009 long-range transit plan. Item C says recommended priorities for the first 10 years of the 2009 long-range transit plan. So you amended the long-range transit plan of 2002 to include the high-occupancy vehicle program. How long does those priorities for the 2002 long-range transit plan last that would overlap with the 2009 long-range transit plan? And whatever happened to the draft 2008 long-range transit plan? And without the I for the improvement, what does the 2011 long-range transit plan look like? The public gets stuck with a PMDTD, and that is pissing away money down the drain, not for programs but for studies.
Look at 9B, federal stimulus money. Any additional money will only go to long-range transportation plans, to rail. That's all bus capital eligible, but not a dime will go to bus capital. This agency is about to receive $1,080,000,000 of the $878 billion in the entire United States of the Barry Obama stimulus plan. In other words, that's 0.15 of a percent, 0.15. This agency is getting more. This is an obscure agency with thousands and thousands of counties. Why are you getting this money, and where will it all go to build rail? And remember, once they build those rail systems, the people, the minorities who are using rail, it's not white people on those damn rail systems, they will end up with us, the bus riders, because they will cut operations. There's only one issue here. It's to build, and cut operations until there's another riot in the city.
Wilson, Ann Wilson. Okay.
Ann Wilson, City of La Cañada, Flint Ridge. I'm speaking on behalf of the Mayor and City Council. And just to summarize on item 9A, we're opposed to the SR 710 being included in the priority list based upon the fact that it's premature and has not yet been proven to be effective, and in fact has been proven ineffective by a SCAG study. On item B, we are also in accord with some of the other cities that are requesting a split of the ARA monies that back to what it was originally. And on item C again, we would ask that the 710 North Extension Tunnel item be excluded for the same reasons. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I think we are probably at the point in the committee where we can move the entire matter to the board without recommendation in light of the discussion and planning, and which would probably experience somewhat of a reincarnation here. And so I, if it's appropriate, Mr. Chair, I'm prepared to move the matter forward without recommendation.
Motion by Supervisor. Second, any objection? So ordered. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. In recognition of the somewhat late start, the presentation has been provided to you in hard copy, but we would like to focus only on two slides in the presentation. Mike Smith and Donna Mills will take care of that for us.
Okay. So we will highlight two items for you on fair revenue. This slide compares fair revenue in the current fiscal year to last year. Current year revenues have been less than last year in all but the most recent month. Looking at sales tax receipts, this chart of cumulative collections of Measure R as a percentage of Prop A collected over the same period shows that Measure R collections are running 10% less than for Prop A. It's typical that there will be a startup transition period where not all taxpayers have adjusted to reporting the new tax, and during which there may be certain pre-existing contracts that are not required to pay. Over time, Measure R will more closely approximate Prop A receipts, but it is unclear how long that may take. This concludes our presentation.
Just as a comment on Prop C, took about 5 years to become substantially equivalent to Prop A. That concludes our report.
Questions? Move to receive and file. Second, and any objections? So ordered. Item number 16.
Item 16 is recommendations to award letters of credit contracts that support our commercial paper program, which is vital to our financing plans.
Yes.
We're reducing the capacity within the state, reducing the capacity of our, and the state bond funding is so speculative.
The reason why we're reducing the capacity is that the underlying letter of credit facilities are so expensive. And we really haven't been up in the 300 plus range, because typically we'll take out around 200. So.
Sixteen. Motion to receive and file. Second. Objection. Anybody signed up? Okay. Yeah, we did. So ordered. Okay. Item number 17.
Item number 17 is an action related to our these leases on buses. Over 1,100 buses were leased some time ago. Over the years, we had expected that just 1,100 buses, some of them would not make it for the full 12 years of the lease. Indeed, three have been damaged, two of which we're negotiating with the equity investor to resolve at the moment. allowing $180,000 per bus. That's three that we know of, and an allowance for one more. That's $720,000 that we would like to set aside for the known bus losses and at least one more. The funds are being made available out of the proceeds of the program. We earned over $65 million from that program, and so of the residual amount, the $700,000 would come from that.
Any questions? Mr. Walsh?
When the Bus Riders Union filed suit more than 12 years ago, one of the major points was the aging of the fleet. Well, now that the Hatter decision has disappeared, the consent decree is gone, we're seeing the buses become older and older. But here's the best part. Who do you think Philip Morris is? Some guy whose father's name of Mr. and Mrs. Morris's kid? No, this is a tax scheme where MTA sells the bus to Big Tobacco. The buses are owned by Philip Morris. That's not BS. It's right there. Read it. They then lease them back to us. We don't own them. This is a little trick. Next, why don't we lease them to Al Qaeda? They've got a fortune. We can go to Dubai. They'll make us a great deal. And you know what? I hate to say this, but Al Qaeda kills fewer people than Philip Morris every day.
Motion to receive and file. Objections? Second without objection. So ordered. Okay, next item, number 18.
In the interest of time, I'll just briefly state that we've been engaged in our property insurance renewal with underwriters and our broker, Aon, for the past several months. And the insurance marketplace is very weak. Demand for insurance products because of the downturn in the economy is low, and the loss season this year has been also very, very mild, so we're expecting high capacity and less demand, which should keep pricing for our insurance that we purchase on our property flat or possibly even a little bit lower. I'll be bringing back final pricing and a final program to this committee next month. Questions?
Questions? Motion to receive and file. Motion second it without objection. So ordered. Okay, next item.
Item 19 is a report, receive and file, on the status of implementation activities in preparation for our fare increase on July 1st, 2010, which was approved back in May of 2007.
Okay, we have Tai Soon Leong. Followed by Rosa Miranda. And, Channing Martinez.
(웃음) 안녕하십니까. 저는 버스 승객 조합인 전태스입니다.
Hello, my name is Tezun Jun. I'm with the Bus Riders Union.
저는 리드 토마스 교통국 이사들에게 정중당당한 요금 인상을 철회할 것을 요구합니다.
I'm here today to urge Supervisor Marshall Lee Thomas and the rest of the MTA board members to hold a fair and open fare increase public hearing.
교통국 재정 문제는 교통국 운영 적자가 아닌 건설자입니다. 이런 현실에서 요금을 인상하는 것 정당하지 못하니까 교통국은 대중 기본 권리를 마저 무시하면 이 모든 정책을 실행하려 합니까?
We know for a fact that the MTA's deficit problem is an actual construction deficit, not an operation deficit. Right now, and given these realities, is the MTA trying to forego any kind of basic public process, because you guys know that the deficit and the fare increase is not justified.
교통국은 요금 인상을 당장 철회할 것을 요구합니다.
That's why I'm urging you to have an open process, and that to ultimately oppose the fare increase proposal. Thank you.
이상입니다.
부탁드립니다. Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Rosa Miranda y soy miembro del sindicato de pasajeros.
Good afternoon, my name is Rosa Miranda and I'm a member of the bus drivers union.
Estoy aquí, señorita Gloria Molina, pidiéndole que rechace los aumentos de tarifas propuestas por el personal y empiece por exigir una audiencia pública.
I'm here today to ask you, Ms. Supervisor Gloria Molina, to reject the proposed fare increases being put forth by staff and to begin by calling for a public hearing process.
Las condiciones bajo las cuales usted propuso la alza de tarifas en el 2007 no son las mismas.
We all know that the same conditions under which you proposed the fare increase motion in 2007 are not the same ones that exist today.
La vida de muchos pasajeros ha cambiado.
We know that the lives of many bus riders have changed.
Como la de una madre con cinco hijos, el más pequeño de 2 años es un niño de educación especial que por lo menos 4 días está en el hospital y no hay un pase que pueda ayudar a pagar el alto costo del transporte.
So an example of who will be impacted. I met a mother on the bus. She is a mother of 5. Her youngest is 2 years old and needs and is a child that has special needs. She has to take him to the hospital 4 days a week. She can't afford to pay a monthly bus pass, and there isn't any type of services that will support her in doing so.
La gente está perdiendo empleos y están tratando de aumentar nuestras tarifas otra vez.
People are losing their jobs, and you're trying to raise our fares again?
No silencie nuestra voz al pueblo. Que queremos una audiencia pública ahora y un alto al aumento de tarifas.
So we ask you not to silence the public, to open a public hearing process and to stop this fare increase. Thank you.
Thank you. May also call up in line Kimberly Richards, Rosa Miranda, and Channing Martinez.
Good afternoon. My name is Channing Martinez. I am a member of the Bus Riders Union and a student at Otis College of Art and Design. Today I ask this committee to stand up with bus riders by creating a public hearing process to hear from us how this proposed 2000 fare hike will impact us. Let me talk to you about the people who are really living in a structural deficit. It is the people who live without health care coverage. It is the people who are forced to live 2 to 3 families in a 1-bedroom apartment in order to cover the rent. It is black people, black workers who have been pushed out of entire industries and becoming a permanent unemployed working class. These are the people whose annual income never match up to their annual incomes. We say, let us speak. We ask this committee to create an actual debate on the board around the assertion that the 2010 fare hike increase is automatic. We say, let us speak. We ask this committee to take leadership to create a public hearing process that requires the full board to be present at the vote.
The applause will be turning to boos in a minute. Kimberly Richards, addressing you as a public official of this agency, as a Service Sector Governance Council member. I agree with the staff report. A full public hearing was conducted. The fact that the board chose to delay the fare increase that was approved was basically a thank you to the voters for approving Measure R. There's no need to hold another hearing. I remember at one of the committee meetings last month, Art Leahy mentioned that when he started as an operator, the fare was approximately equal to the cost of a gallon of gasoline. Ready for a $3 fare? No, you're only going to get half that. I would also suggest, though, last month we heard from a customer satisfaction report from Matt Raymond. that stated that many customers would be happy to pay a slightly higher fare for a period of time without having to pay fares for transfers. Perhaps we need to look at that for the next fare cycle. But do not accede to their demands. They have no legal grounds to stand upon.
Good afternoon. Esperanza Martinez, lead organizer with the Bus Riders Union. So today we come to ask this committee to do the right thing by pulling item 19 and bringing it to the full board and create a debate around the assertion that a fare increase in 2010 is set in stone. So in light of the MTA's budget growing over $1 billion in the last 3 years, we can only see this as an attempt to railroad a rightful public process to avoid bringing light to the disparate and discriminatory impacts that this fare increase could have on a majority people of color and working class ridership. These are our people and your constituents that you may force to make unethical choices about how they spend their dwindling incomes. How can we expect a single mother of three to pay an extra $13 for a regular monthly bus pass as she is looking to a $100 cut in her CalWORKs check? This isn't just about numbers and figures. There are real human impacts to the choices being made. We ask you to do the right thing. Let our people speak, take the issue to the board, and create a public hearing process. Thank you.
Hey, Rosa Miranda.
She's still writing.
Okay. And then Malcolm Klugman. Malcolm. Be followed by John Walsh.
We need some business sense about this. I would say go ahead and raise the single fare to $1.50, but keep the day pass at $5 and keep the tokens at $1.15 or something like that. The idea is you want to create, it's like soup. You buy one can for $1.50, but you get four for $4.95, you know? And that way you encourage what you want to happen, which is to get people to buy day passes so that it speeds the people getting on and off the bus and on and off the rail. And that's what makes the system work better and makes it attractive to new riders. So I would suggest you keep the tokens below. If you raise a token to $1.50, the same as the fare, then they're going to stand there and put these dollar bills and stuff, and it's going to hold up the system. Use some business sense.
Ready, get, set, go. There's no LA Times reporter. Mr. Blumkatz is cruising the bus is looking for another white woman to do a story on and sleep with the way he did with this one. First of all, it's illegal. This is a different board. The board of 3 years ago was constituted differently. This, you cannot do something. You cannot act on something. You cannot say 3 years from now. And then you cannot do it. It's a violation of law. We have a construction deficit. You have erased all the gains of the consent decree. How about the police? They were running wild. They put them under control. Now, what are they going to do? Let the police run wild again because the consent decree has ended? What I'm telling you, our own public hearing. We'll hold our own public hearing, or we'll hold it in front of the LA Times. And I'm telling you, I don't negotiate with you. There were no Jews that said, kill 2 million of us. Don't kill 6 million of us. Maybe we can come to a... Hey, I'm a white person, but I know that you are all racist, regardless of race, color, or creed. Although, you know damn well that's true.
Arnold Sachs. And we called Channing Martinez, right?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. You proved with the consent decree for the ridership how foolish this agency acts. In one of your brochures, you showed pictures of the extended buses and the buses that used to run in the MTA in the late 70s. You eliminated those. It took you 20 years to bring them back after you eliminated them. You had a consent decree to alleviate the overcrowdedness on the buses, after you eliminated the larger seated buses. Now you have the same situation with the fare. You have economic Armageddon in this city, and you're going to put the money and you're going to put the fare increase on the backs of the individuals. Somebody had spoke, I think it was Mr. Klugman, spoke about a graduated fare increase. Why not look into that? Why hammer the poor?
Any comment? Motion to receive and file. Pam, second. Without objection, so ordered. Item number 20. Ron, Mr. Layton.
A couple of quick items. We've received a $300 million grant. Director Antonovich was instrumental in that from the Mobile Source Air Pollution Reduction Review Committee, MSRC. This money is to provide service from Union Station to Dodger Stadium called the Dodger Stadium Express. This has great potential to increase our revenues because we'll be cross-promoting MTA services, buses and rail, with the Dodgers. The Dodgers will be doing some material on behalf of MTA during the games and on their programs. They'll have Tommy Lasorda doing a scoreboard video promoting the service. So great opportunity to cross-market the MTA. We had a pilot program of rail investors on the Blue Line this week. They're at key locations where there have been accidents to try to make sure that we've enhanced our safety. With that, I'll conclude my report. Thank you.
I'm an Angel fan, but I don't discriminate. Mr. Walsh, public. Item 20.
I have a comment.
You spend tens of millions of dollars on promoting the subway and on promoting even buses, and no one uses it. Why not? Because it's inconvenient. If you got rid of your entire promotional budget now and used that money for operations, your ridership would go up. You've taken a million of... And now we're going to have Tommy Lasorda with his big fat gut, which he'll be paid for, telling us we should take the bus. You don't take the bus, Tommy. Lasorda doesn't take the bus. White people don't take the bus, except for a few white nerds who say, why don't we compromise? Just take three of my fingers off, not all 10. How white can some people get?
Mr. Lay? Lay?
I wanted to comment on the next item, item 55. We have a report here on our actions today on the budget. We're identifying large potential staff reductions in various programs. I think Paul Taylor wanted to start off the discussion, then Nalini.
Yes, I wanted to just elaborate on the new approaches, the new paradigms that we're putting into effect this year with regard to our delivery of projects, with regard to our delivery of services, how we manage the organization, and how we allocate resources. The new project delivery paradigm will focus on accelerated project delivery, end-to-end top-tier project management, peer reviews and milestone management of capital budgets, consistent application of best practices, and strengthened fiscal controls, and creating a single executive responsibility for program delivery at this agency. In the service delivery area, we'll be increasing service productivity and our recovery ratios, and we'll be talking more about that in a minute. No unnecessary duplication of service will be tolerated. We'll be enhancing the integration of service between bus service and rail service, offering quality, safe, clean, reliable, on-time service. We hope which will attract new customers by those improved services, and new markets will be opened by serving new areas. And again, we'll have a single executive responsibility for all operations, bus and rail. We'll have a new management paradigm here with a right-sized organization with an integrated team approach. We'll have recognition and reward for success in the organization. We want to make this an employer of choice with succession planning within the organization. The way we allocate resources will be revised. We'll create a sustainable organization, assigning resources to meet the core functional needs first and foremost, reining in extraneous program expenditures, implementing milestone management of capital projects with a new focus on productivity and elimination of redundancy in the organization, and we will live within our means. Toward that end, we have, throughout this fiscal year, the current fiscal year, we've reduced $68 million from the budget of expenditures. We're going forward with a reduction in non-contract, non-represented employees of 260 positions, which is about 20% of our complement in that area. We'll be eliminating non-essential expenditures, restructuring and streamlining the organization, and improving our capital budgeting. Our budget officer, Nalini Ahuja, has specifics on those areas, and I'd like to ask her to talk about some of them. And then Conan Chung, our manager of service development, will conclude.
Hi. Last month, we informed you that we had a $180 million deficit in our Prop C 40% funds for fiscal year 2011. Since then, we have taken some significant steps, and we divide these steps in three areas. First, departments are proceeding with reducing costs to assign targets. 10% in our core planning and bus operating unit. The support units, except the audit department, have a target of 10%. Construction and rail operations are expected to budget at the O10 level and absorb the costs of additional activity planned in these departments. At this time, agency-wide targeted expenditures are projected to reduce costs by $66 million in this area. Second, our area's capital program cash flow for O10 and O11, we are budgeting the capital program more in line with our cash flow needs based on expected rate of project delivery. These cash flow requirements are based on expenditure history of the last 6 years, adjusted for any special circumstance with respect to a specific project. We expect the savings to be around $60 to $70 million in this area. Third, area's bus operations, and our budget for FY11 will include a service reduction of about 5%. And Conan will give you more details about this, but just on the cost side, this should lead to a $19 million saving. And another $8.7 million is expected from reorganization and streamlining efforts for a total of around $164 million. To the extent that we cannot meet our budget shortfall with these three areas, we may have to tap into some of our revenues, which we've set aside for future bus and rail capital. We will come back in April with a further update. And Conan will give some more details on the service.
Good afternoon. Conan Chung, Service Planning Development. Just to give you an idea of some of the areas that we're looking at in terms of restructuring the system, one area definitely that we can look at is to reduce unused capacity. That really has zero impact on the riders. And we've done some analysis, and for example, if you look at the trips coming into and through downtown LA during the peak hours, our buses are only half full. So we have a lot of services that are all coming into downtown, and they don't necessarily all need to be coming into downtown. So again, that's a definite area where we can see some reductions in service with no impact to riders. Another one is really looking at our unproductive services, and there's always a need to look at those and try to adjust them to better meet the needs of our riders. One example is Line 608, which is in Leimert Park. It's a shuttle bus. We run 12 trips a day, and we carry about 75 people the entire day. So we're talking about six passengers per hour, six passengers per trip. And at the same time, when you look at the east-west or the north-south services throughout that area, we have better than 10-minute frequencies on Crenshaw, Western, and Normandy. And on the east-west services on MLK and Vernon, we have the same amount of service. So again, a lot of service within and around that area, and that's probably why the shuttle doesn't do that well. Another area that we're going to look at is really right-sizing and rationalizing the rapid corridors. Really, on the rapid corridors, they make sense where you can get a speed differential that's greater than 20% improvement, and you actually have a proven two different markets, one market that wants a local bus and one market that wants a longer distance bus. Otherwise, really combining the local and the rapid service actually provides better service to the customer because you have regular frequencies along the entire route. It also provides access to all trips at all stops. And it provides opportunities to reduce unused capacity and allows us to achieve better scheduling efficiencies because we can schedule the lines together. One example of this is the 714 on Beverly. It only achieves a 10% improvement on running time between the 714 and the 14. And when you look at the trip average trip lengths on the 14, which is a local, and the 714, you're talking about a difference between an average trip length of 3.2 miles and an average trip length of 3.6 miles. And again, this is talking about if we bring the services together, we right-size it to the demand within the corridor, it provides access at all bus stops to all trips, it provides a consistent headway or frequency along the entire line because you don't have different speeds on it, and it allows us to better schedule the service so we can create more efficiencies that way. So those are some of the ideas that we're looking at to implement in June and December of FY11. That concludes our discussion.
That's it?
Yes.
Tweak.
Do you have those proposals in writing?
I'll get a copy of it.
But it's not in detail.